Remember, all of this is about the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God, what the Word of God does to us, what it makes us think, what it makes us know, and how the Lord uses His Word to give us wisdom, hold us together. And so we're going to finish up the thoughts here on that, beginning in verse 161. So let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for Your love, for Your presence here tonight. We are so thankful that You've given us Your Word. And Lord, I know that many of us here today are, could tell a story about how Your Word has spoken to us and how obedience to Your Word has changed us and changed our surroundings, changed our situations. And so, Lord, we want to praise You for that. And as we finish this up, I ask You that speak new things to us, Lord. It's still all the old stuff, but Lord, may it become new in our hearts. And may we desire Your Word and obedience to Your Word more than anything. So fill us with Your Spirit and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Are we missing some lights here right now? Is there supposed to be some other lights on? I feel like I'm just sitting back here in the dark. And, oh, is it like, do I usually have those lights on? Not always? No, I don't feel like I'm seeing. Nothing's consistent. That's why we're Calvary Chapel, Fort Bragg. Right. And we like that, right? Some of us. Anyway, so there is nothing else that you guys. Oh, what about this thing up here? Oh, this thing, these little lights here? Those, yeah. Oh, look at that. I can see the Bible. Of course, I'm all blue, and you guys are going to, you know. Zach just sits there helplessly, like, I don't know nothing, but that's okay. I hope nobody's watching on the internet right now, but hold on, stay right there. I know I can't see, you know. I'm getting these old eyes. I'm back. Can you give me like a nice tan? Just, you know, make me look more, you know, just better looking. Can you do that? No? The light shines just right in my face. I know. Okay, no, I just, the only thing, the main thing for me is it gets on my Bible and I can read it. Ooh, things keep changing. This is nice, that little mood lighting, little blue spot. It's good. Oh, man. All right, we're going to go ahead and, you know, and teach this just like at a disco. And the lights keep changing. All right. Verse 161, oh wait, one comment about this. Commentators, a few that I looked at, have suggested that this next section is, you know, they just talked about the continuity of this next section as being these great prayers instead of these great suggestions, I'm not suggesting, or crying out in pain or whatever, but I don't know. I don't see it. I just see it all kind of the same as what we've been looking at before, and I couldn't make those same connections. And so I'm going to take this one verse at a time, pretty much, and we're just going to look at each one of the verses and what I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking through these verses. And yeah, sometimes it is connected, but sometimes I can't see that connection. Remember, the main connection with this Psalm is like in the letter, in that 21st letter of the alphabet. So, all right, verse 161, princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I think even those two thoughts might appear to be like they don't even go together, but I think they go together really well. understand that when it says princes persecute me without cause, we can go through, heck, each of the prophets in the Old Testament and see how they had to stand before leaders, powerful people, powerful leaders, and tell these powerful people, that they were in sin, that they were blowing it. You know, Daniel did it, and Jeremiah dealt with persecution from these guys. Paul stood before Felix and Agrippa. Talk about them having power. Certainly, Pontius Pilate pretended to have power over Jesus. They said, "Don't you know I have the power to kill you?" And I think that that's kind of what's being said here, is that there will be very powerful people in this world who will come against us. And there may be a time in your life where you're standing there before a very powerful person, and you're supposed to be in awe of that powerful person. And we know what Jesus said to Pilate. He says, "You got nothing. If you kill me, it's only because God lets you. So, no, you don't have any power except the power God's given you." And so, while it looks like we must be standing in awe of these princes and these scary people, the Word of God is way more awesome than any of them. And one thing, too, about the Word of God being awesome is that even as you and I would face persecution, that, you know, should we face persecution at the hands of somebody very powerful, then that would only make the Word of God greater to us, because the Word of God predicted this, right? 2 Timothy 3:12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so, the world starts to persecute us when we did not come against them at all. All we're doing is living a righteous life. We didn't bomb anybody. We didn't try to take anybody down. And the next thing you know, they're trying to take us down. And what that ought to do is say, "Wow, God, your word is amazing, because you predicted this." But understand that, you know, you and I should never stand in awe of important, powerful men of this world. It should just never be. They shouldn't scare us. Always stand in awe of God Almighty and His incredible word. Verse 162, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." You know, when we talk about the Word of God, we talk about it in terms of like, "Oh man, I was reading the Word of God and it's like, I got these great nuggets in there," you know, like pieces of gold. And it happens, doesn't it? It's like treasure to you when you find a verse that just speaks to you or really encourages you or destroys you. Whatever it may do, it's like gold. It's like a treasure to you, and it's a wonderful thing. But if the Word of God is like a treasure, if the Word of God is a treasure, then understand that only a miner can know how much gold is in a gold mine. You have to get in there and look for it. If you and I were to stumble upon a gold mine, I don't think we would find very much gold at all. But who's finding the gold? Those who are inside of it getting dirty. Those who are working it. And so is the case. You cannot possibly find the treasure that is in God's Word unless you are in God's Word. Reading it, not just daily, but reading it as looking for that treasure. And yes, I mean, you could read 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and wonder where the treasure is. And I'll sit next to you and we'll wonder together. But you keep reading, looking for the treasure, digging for the treasure, because God wants to speak to you. Now, after that really awesome illustration, as the miners are the ones who find the gold, right? You look up the Hebrew for treasure, and it doesn't really mean treasure. It actually means the spoil, the plunder from a battle. And so that makes me a little confused. Sometimes I mean, obviously, you know, you get into a battle, and in that battle, if you win the battle, then you take the guy's stuff away, and you have plundered the enemy. And if you stop and think, you might see it, you might find it, you might see that, you know, sometimes reading the Word of God is a battle. You're battling your own flesh. You're battling that spiritual battle. The enemy doesn't want you to read the Word. And you know, and our sinful flesh doesn't want to read it, and so a battle begins. And once we get in, once we're engaged in that battle, whatever we come away with is the plunder received for winning. We've actually read the Word, did the digging, wrestled with God, and come away richer. Verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. We know, you know, in John chapter 17, you know, Jesus prays to the Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. And so, plainly, you cannot be a liar and a follower of God at the same time. It's impossible. So, to me, you know, verse 163 is just one of the no-brainers of Scripture. It's impossible to love lying and love the Word of God at the same time. 164, verse 164, seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. This isn't something teaching you and me to stop seven times a day, set our alarms, and then say praises to the Lord, making sure you get all seven in. No, seven is the number of completion. We know that, or completion or perfection. And so when the word says seven, it really speaking of, well, all day. All day I'm praising you. All day long. And that's why Peter, when he asked Jesus this business about forgiveness, you know, how many times should I forgive somebody? Seven times? And Jesus went with that seven quite literally. Peter felt great about it, but I think then Jesus kind of expanded on that seven, no, 70 times seven, saying, no, always, always, always. So we should always praise the Lord all day long. It makes life better. It really does. And to praise the Lord isn't just, you know, to say, praise you, Lord. We say that, but to tell the Lord all the great things he is and all the great things he's done. Tell him those things. Not because he has forgotten, but because you and I forget. And if we're doing it all day, we will not forget God's greatness. And we'll be able to see everything else through that lens. And it makes us a lot happier people. Most people gripe seven times a day. Complain seven times a day. Find something to complain about. And that comes out of us quite naturally. But I want to encourage us all that maybe we can replace it with praising God. But that means basically all day. 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Why? Why do people have great peace who love the law of the Lord? And why is it that nothing can trip them up? Well, let's put it in terms of our laws here in the United States, or traffic laws. Let's put it this way. Great peace have law-abiding citizens. If you just abide by the traffic laws, you have peace when you're driving, and you don't have to look in your rear view mirror all the time. because you're always looking for the lights back there. And you can actually drive at peace if you just drive the speed limit. Use your signals. Be courteous. And you'll be at peace. You know, of course, all the maniacs on the road won't be at peace with you. But you don't have to worry about what the cops are going to think about you. It's that simple. It is so, Romans chapter 13, verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. People who are afraid of cops are people who hate cops. I have never met a law-abiding citizen who hated cops. But I actually don't think much of cops at all. I guess there was a time in my life where I did think of them. And so it keeps us from tripping up. And so now let's get back to what the word here says. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Why? Because they're doing things according to God's way. Now, the law for you and me is the top two, right? Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you and I spend our energy loving people, we're going to be at peace. Our lives will have peace. And because I've never met a happy person who holds a grudge. You ever met a happy grudge holder? You know, somebody who's just really, or just bitter towards somebody. I mean, what a rotten way to live. God wants us to be at peace. He wants us to have peace. And part of that peace is just, you know, look at God's word, and God's word says this, and so, you know what, let's do it God's way. And you do it God's way, and you go, oh, this is great. I don't have to worry about what God's thinking of me right now. And I can be a pretty happy guy. Psalm 166. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. You know, this is a great one for us just to understand, as it looks like this verse doesn't make a lot of sense. So many people believe that the doing of God's commandments is the thing that makes us acceptable to God. And certainly, if we do belong to God, we are going to want to do his commandments, and it's not a burden to us, as I think we talked about last week. It's not going to be a burden to us. But even so, the commandments are not what saves us. No matter how well we do, you may believe that you've done perfectly today. Perfectly. Can you imagine getting through an entire day without sin? No, check it out. If you did, and you noticed, you've ended the day with sin. Because it would be, look what I've done. Like, oh, man. Which tells us that, you know, you and I want to live tight with the Lord, but salvation is still necessary. We still need God's salvation. We're going to need it soon, too. See that wind today? That was gnarly. See that short little wind and rain, and now it's come back? It didn't finish us up? Have you noticed tonight I'm like really easily distracted? I was just like, thank you, Lord. All right, let's do 167. Only God's grace will cover us. Only God's grace will cover us. You will not be covered by how well you walk with the Lord. That is a tough concept for all of us. You are only covered by the grace of God. Storm's over. 167. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. If you love the word of God, then your soul is going to keep them. That is that which is inside of you. It does us no good when our mouth keeps the commandments or speaks God's word, as Jesus quoting from Isaiah, you know, these people draw near to me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. As people who know how to speak the Christianese, but don't know how to walk the Christianese. But even in the walking of it, you could talk it, you can walk it, but still only be doing it just to be a part of the club. It is so important that you and I have been affected on the inner parts. As the word says, you desire truth in the inner parts. I think David said that in Psalm 51. But it's the inside. And if your soul, if your heart, your soul are the things that initially keep the word of God and love the word of God, then your feet are going to follow that. I think of Psalm 103 as it begins, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. Remember, it is the inside. Talk about people who walked it and talked it, but were evil. The Pharisees. Jesus dealt with the Pharisees in Matthew 23. And he told them that, well, that the outside of the cup looked clean, but the inside was full of greed and extortion and all kinds of filth. And you and I can work so hard on the outside and even work on our speech and work on all that stuff, but the Lord sees the inside. The inside is what matters. By the way, if your feet are going to bad places, that means the inside hasn't been cleaned. It's very important we understand that, because we know how that works. People who live sinful lives, and then they say, God knows my heart. They're right. God knows their heart. It's they that don't know their heart. But the rest of the world can see their heart by where they go and what they do. But I really do believe, and I'm sorry if this illustration doesn't set well with some of you, I just believe there's just a big old can opener up there at the pearly gates. We have our labels. We tell people who we are. I'm a Christian. And just like the cans at the store, they have their labels on them. It would be horrible if you got green beans at the store because it said so, and you open it up and it was beets. That would be bad. Even if it said beets and it was beets, that would be bad. But that's... But we all walk around with the outside doing the label thing, telling who we are. But God sees the inside. And when we arrive, I think there's a big old can opener there, just all around our head, looks inside. Oh, yeah, you are. You do belong to me. He's looking on the inside. So it is our soul that loves the word of God. Another thing about the Word of God and why some people read it is because they're just trying to get their life straight. And I tell you what, keep reading it, and somehow, someway in there, you're going to meet Jesus, because really, reading the Word isn't about getting your life straight. Reading the Word is about knowing Jesus. Oh, you'll get your life straight if you know Jesus. But I think that there's so much. It's been my experience with so many people, when they talk about reading the Word of God, they're using the Word of God to try to straighten out their lives, but they do not love Jesus, and they do not love the Word. They say, okay, well, will it go better with me if I do it this way, like it says? Well, yeah, but, and see, that will only last so long. Anyway, it's the inside. It's what's inside. Verse 168, I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. The Lord sees it all. All of our ways are before him. Verse 169. It's a law. It's the same words. It's just another word for law. For it's precept, like a doctrine, like the law, the judgments. It's all different words for the same thing. All right. 169. We're on the home stretch. This letter is the letter tau, ta. You know what it is. You can read it yourself. And verse 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. And so, crying out to God, that's verse 169 and 170, just different ways of saying it. I'm asking you for something. That's a supplication is. I want to understand your word, but also I need deliverance. Now, we don't know the situation he was in, but there are many times you and I need deliverance. It might be from something kind of little. We kind of got ourselves in a pickle, and we need the Lord to deliver us. And so we cry out to him for that deliverance. But notice he says, deliver me according to your word. That is where you and I must find our deliverance in time of trouble, and that is that we would be delivered God's way and not our way. And well, what do you mean by that? Okay, I got a little crazy, and I ended up buying some guitars when I should have paid the house payment. Now I'm in a mess. And Lord, would you please deliver me according to your word? All right? By the way, no, I didn't do that. I'm just giving an example. Is it pastor bought guitars instead of paying his house payment? But you got in a financial fix. And so you're saying, Lord, deliver me, deliver me. And just when you're done praying that prayer, somebody rolls up to you and says, hey, you know, I've got these extra bags of pot that I need to sell, and if you can sell them for me, I'll give you such and such money. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, I just prayed for deliverance, and look at this opportunity. No, that's man's way. That's against the law. That is a lot of different things. It is totally not God. There are so many situations that might come up in your life that might bail you out of your current situation, but it's not God's way. And a lot of times I think that these things come about because the Lord is testing us to find out if we really do trust him. Or are we going to just kind of fudge a little here or a little there and do something a little bit on the crooked side and then believe that God gave us that crooked opportunity? No, God doesn't do things like that. And so when God delivers, he does it his way. It will be upright. It'll be just right. So verse 171, my lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Now, what's coming out of his mouth and what's coming out of our mouths, I'll tell you, it's you can speak these things without them being in your heart. But with this man, he started with 167, my soul keeps your testimonies. I love them. And so because of that, out comes 171 and 172, it'll come out of your mouth. If it doesn't come out of your mouth, then I doubt that it is in your heart. It is the law of nature, by the way, and that is that whatever it is that you love, that's what you're going to talk about. I can tell what you love by what you talk about. And what happens to your face when you're talking about it. I say that because I've had many a conversation with people, you know, who come to me for help. I'm the pastor, right? And so they come to me for help, and you know, I'm always opening the Word of God to them, and they'll talk Word of God with me. But it's almost like, you know, talking vegetables with me. It's like, yeah. Now you engage them in conversation, and pretty soon, now you're talking about cars, and their face lights up. And they can tell you exactly how every car is put together, and how fast they go, and what they cost, and all that stuff. And they're just so excited about this, I'll tell you what that person loves. Is it you hear me talking, me personally? Yes. I'll talk about the Word of God. I'll talk about my Savior for sure. I love talking about Him. But I also love talking about baseball. I love baseball, and you guys know that. I love some music. And so I'll talk about music, and you get me all fired up when we talk about the creation of music and how that all works. And what's so cool about it, too, about this whole music thing and arrangements of music, you can't help but throw the Lord in there because it's so beautiful, amazing, and so perfect how He does that. And it gets me going. You can tell what somebody loves by what gets them going when they're talking about it. Can I tell them that dream you had? Because I can't. I think I already told that. I think I already told that one time. Did I tell you that dream that she had? But this is so funny. She had a dream that I died. Oh, yeah. And she went to the, some of you remember this, did I share this before? I don't know. And she went to the cemetery, and there on my headstone, it said, Kevin Green, he loved, was it Jesus? Okay, I want to make sure it's in the right order. He loved Jesus and baseball. Oh, man, I laughed for days over that. I'm going to laugh another couple days now. It happened a long time ago. What a great dream. It was a little embarrassing for me because I couldn't refute it. I could not refute it. All right. But I can tell what you love by what you talk about, what comes out of your mouth. Listen to what comes out of your mouth. If it's not the things of God, then talk to the Lord, not about your mouth, but about your heart. And no, we are definitely not saying, you know, everything out of your mouth. And some people believe that okay, well then everything out of my mouth has got to be the string of Christianese. No, Christianese bugs me. But rather, just to talk about God. Just to talk about His Word. Talk about what He's doing, what He has done. Some amazing stuff God has done. Oh, wow, we're just about done here. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. And this goes back to that, you know, I think last week we talked about, this is not about you owe me something, Lord, because I'm keeping your law or because I'm doing things your way, but rather it is to say, I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you. And I'm not the sharpest chicken in the bucket, but I belong to you. And so will you please let your hand become my help? And remember, too, that when we talk about the Word of God, and there have been people who accuse Calvary Chapel of not worshiping Jesus, but worshiping the Bible. And certainly we don't worship the Bible, nor did this writer of this psalm, who says, your hand, it is God personally. And so we read the Bible to know Him personally. And we know that you know, if we're drowning, we call out to God. We never call out to our Bible. We know that. And the psalmist knew it. And so this is all to know the person of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, it is your hand that will help me. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Back to that same thing as 166. I hope for your salvation. I do your commandments. Just saying it in a different way, but still needing this salvation. Let my soul live and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. Um, 176. I think this is the strangest way to end this psalm. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Sounds like he's doing pretty good there, last line. Sounds like he's doing pretty bad there, the first line. Well, as I have said, when we've done well, we still fall very short. And there can be times in our lives, you're talking about we are the way, the truth, the life, right? We're on the way. Jesus is the way. We're with him. But, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe the wheels are start going off into that soft shoulder, you know, are you going off this way, or whatever. And so you're on the path, but at the same time, maybe your mind has gone astray. Keep thinking of, I think it's Proverbs chapter 4, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. What does that mean? Well, sometimes our hearts can get attracted to something else other than the Lord, or what God would have us to be attracted to. You start thinking, gosh, I wish I were doing that or being this or something, you know. And our heads can go to just these different places. Oh, you know, but we love the Lord. We're keeping his word. We're excellent to one another. But still our hearts can go astray. And with that said, the psalmist ends in this perfect honesty of the condition of us. We have all struggled in the Romans chapter 7 manner. And that is, as Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do those things. And there's this continual battle since the day you met the Lord Jesus Christ between your flesh and and the Spirit of God. And this fight goes on and on and on. And of course, chapter 8 of Romans gives us the answer. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who will save us from this body of death. But there it goes again, save your servant, as the psalmist continues to ask for salvation, salvation, salvation. Don't be satisfied Don't be satisfied with a crooked walk. You're saved by the grace of God. But God wants more for you than to just live some crooked walk. And I think the psalmist is confessing his iniquity, his humanity. And this isn't something, though, and unfortunately, there will always be those who take this as God being a taskmaster who demands you get better. But as we talked about marriage this morning, I think that a good idea for me would be to try to become a better husband all the time. Why? Well, because Bridget will hit me if I don't. Well, it's funny because that's what people think about God. You're his kid. And he loves you. You mess this thing up, and he loves you. But he's got a better life for you than living in a mess. It's available to you, just as the things that he has prepared for us. As he, you know, lays out everything prepared for us. He goes, look what you can have. And so sometimes we don't pick up those things that he has for us. And really, that kind of makes us like lost sheep in a sense. And as he says, seek your servant, that is another wonderful thing about the Lord. He seeks his servants. Amy, what was it? Heck, it was 20 years ago now. We were in the mall in Palm Springs, and we turned around, and Amy was gone. She was 4 years old. Gone. Gone. Nowhere. We frantically searched this, the little stores right around there, and we're running up. We got security on it. Amy's gone. We sought her, even though she chose to go astray. She belongs to us. She's our child. And so we searched for her and searched for her. I don't know how much time went by, if it was half an hour or 2 hours. It was an eternity. And you know what she did? She just kind of wanted to go down here at this store. And then she went down to another one. 4-year-old kid in this busy mall. What happened to her? And then finally she realized she was lost and then went into a store and just sat there and waited. And praise God, nobody picked her up. When my children get lost, I don't get mad. I get scared. When you get lost, God doesn't get mad. He's not scared either, but he is concerned for you. Understand that we want to stay tight with the Lord Jesus Christ, be bound to him by love, because he loves us and he has what is best for us. When we know how much he loves us, we'll want to stick close. And in all of our straying, we should never be afraid that he's going to hit us, but that we would come back to him where we belong, where all the glory is. And again, the other side of that is then there are those who you just don't go astray. I mean, you're right there. You know, the danger for you is definitely pride, right? Turn into a Pharisee. Because I just think that no matter how well we do, there's just this portion of us that just doesn't do well at all. The psalmist begs for salvation over and over and over again while he says, I'm keeping your law. We are the sheep, and he is the shepherd. and He's going to look out for us. His job is to look out for us. Our job is to keep His word. So we've done it. Is this some kind of miracle that we got through Psalm 119 in such a short time? Is it some kind of miracle? All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your word. I thank You for the glory of this particular psalm. And I ask that You would make us those miners, the mining for that treasure, but also, Lord, those who would fight. As everything within us sometimes just reads Your word and doesn't even think to get something out of it. But Lord, I pray that we would fight for every bit of spoil we can get from it. Sometimes, Lord, we don't fight very well. And so we ask You for the power of Your Holy Spirit to fall on us. We ask You for the ability to do the things You've called us to do. There is no way, Lord, we could belong to You or do anything except by Your grace. And so we depend on Your grace, we call on Your grace, and we praise You for Your grace. You are amazing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.